Mr. Beast is going to be worth over $100 billion, and it's going to happen faster than you think. So, Jim, this is me calling my shot for you. There's 8 points that I want to make, and stick around to the end because I'm actually going to react to one of his latest videos with Tom Brady and Pete Davidson over a nice lunch of Feastables. Never skip dessert. So, first is he has massive leverage in terms of what he puts in versus what he gets out. So, he may spend $1 million, $2 million, even $4 million on a video, but the amount of impressions that that one video gets across the world, because he also translates it, is worth hundreds of millions. So let me give you an idea of what Beast Industries is all about in terms of the ecosystem. Across like 4, 5, 6 YouTube channels, he's got 183 million subscribers, and that doesn't include the international channels, which are more than half of his audience. Ahora no pueden decir que había un guión. On top of that, he's got TikTok, he's got Instagram, he's got Twitter, and in aggregate, he's got over 300 million plus subscribers. They're also incredibly engaged. In 2022, Mr. Beast had the fastest growing account on TikTok and YouTube. Two of the platforms that have the most eyeballs right now, he has the most of them. You think about the amount of creators on each of those platforms, and he was literally number one on both. His biggest videos are bigger than the Super Bowl. It's hard for people to comprehend that. On the business side, he's got Beast Burger, which is a ghost kitchen, which basically leverages the network of restaurants that already exist. And then he uses his distribution base of customers to buy stuff on an app, and then it gets delivered and fulfilled on from whatever local restaurants he's already partnered with. The next thing, he's got Beast Gaming, which is where he'll try and make apps and video games because he has a big gaming audience. But I think where the real winner for him is going to be, and this is what I would make my bet on, is that he's going to be going all in on Feastables. Number two is that when you have a media company, your product is your marketing, which is one of the unique advantages that only media companies have. Meaning, the more you spend on your product, which is your media, the more marketing ends up happening. If you don't know who I am, my name is Alex Ramosi on acquisition.com. I make these videos because I hope to attract other business owners towards us that are doing over $1 million a year in profit so that we can invest in your business and help it scale. There's a ton of leverage for media creators because what they sell and how they market themselves are one and the same. And with that leverage, he's able to gain access to other people's massive distribution bases. He was surprised how much Joe Rogan's podcast with him.
You invest so much money.
All the money I make. I don't. Why do I need money?
How many older people started recognizing him from that podcast? He can get on Joe Rogan. He can get on Flagrant.
$1 trillion I give you right now.
I bought everything I wanted in life.
He can get on Impulsive because they know that if he's on their podcast, that podcast will crush because he brings his own audience. And so whenever he does knock on the door is open for him. Number three is that CPG makes a ton of sense for him because so many people eat chocolate, eat chips, eat pretzels, and a lot of those people are in his audience. Right now, Feastables is probably gonna pay $300 to $400 million this year in sales. Manufacturing chocolate bars or chips or water is not overwhelmingly complex compared to making a software or an app or something like that. What we are seeing with Feastables just with chocolate is a drop in the bucket compared to how big this brand will be once he enters bigger, more profitable categories. And what I mean by that is, how many chocolate bars does the average person buy a week? Now, how many sports beverages or water do people consume per week and purchase per week? Significantly more. And so if he goes into those categories, even if the same number of people purchased, get 10 times the revenue he's currently getting with chocolate bars. And right now he's selling out faster than any other brand. My team had to go to a zillion different grocery stores and we still couldn't find D's Nuts because they're sold out almost everywhere. He's taking up more shelf space and pushing through his product at a faster rate than any other brand on the category.
It's been absurd. Basically, whatever I thought we were gonna sell, we're doing like 5 times better. It's kind of shifted my whole mindset. Like retail space, when you have a brand this big, it's just so OP.
Jim has realized the power of CPG. And the reason that it's so powerful in the influencer space is that most people don't have incredibly strong affinity to the brands that they consume. Most brands are really old. They just like have been drinking it because they've always drank it, not because they actually made a conscious decision.
I could go stand in any Walmart in America and I would have to take 100 photos. So those same people, when they go into Walmart, will buy my products. It's just because people are like, oh, it's that guy from YouTube, and they buy it.
But as soon as one of the influencers that you saw come up and that you're a fan of or even recognize, you'll be more likely to take it.
Currently, these work out at £2.90 per bar, which is obviously more expensive than your average supermarket chocolate. Oh, it smells good.
And maybe even pay a little bit of a premium on top of the commoditized product. And you can measure the strength of a brand based on how much of a premium you can charge on a commoditized product. If I have 2 white t-shirts and one of them has an LV logo on it, and this one can go for $100, and this one goes for $1, then I have significant branding and pricing power as a result of that. Well, right now, the richest man in the world, Bernard Arnault, owns this brand, and a zillion other luxury brands, because he understands the pricing power of brand. And those gross profits that you can generate for selling the same thing is what you can then reinvest in innovation, staying ahead, and marketing even more to reinforce the brand. And that's what becomes the brand flywheel, is that you create a little bit of a premium, you make the spread, you reinvest that into the branding itself, then that reinforces the brand, you can raise the price more, increase the spread, and then around and around you go until you have this incredibly strong brand that's established that consumers in general are willing to pay more for. Number four is that he's able to monetize the widest base of his audience. At the most basic level, every single person who views his video, he gets some money off of. His media, his content, touches the broadest audience, which is simply entertainment. Everybody can watch Mr. Beast's content. And so his products, as a consequence, he gets to reach everyone with what he sells. But what's the level underneath of that? If someone paid Mr. Beast for an integrated ad inside of one of his videos.
We have a very serious problem. My mom is currently online shopping and I don't think she has Honey installed on her computer.
They believe they're gonna make significantly more than they paid him off of that ad. He would then make more money promoting his own thing and make up the arbitrage.
You have to try these nuts.
So if someone gets 10 to 1 or 20 to 1 by paying him $20 million a year to market their thing, then it means that he might be able to get 200 million or 400 million a year marketing his thing because it stays within the brand and it's congruent. Number five is that Jim is smart enough to know that he doesn't know everything.
You know, for the most part, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm trying to absorb knowledge as much as possible. And I'll just call people. I'll be like, I don't know what I'm gonna learn off you. I'll do everything I can to add value to you. And in exchange, just teach me everything you know. Like people who run a snack business. And I'm doing that like 5 hours a day.
It's actually really hard for me to imagine being one of the most popular people on planet Earth in your early 20s and not letting that get to your head. And having had many conversations with him, he's confident that he can kill it, but he's incredibly open-minded to listening to people who he feels has expertise outside of what he has mastered. He hits up people, anyone who he thinks he can learn anything from. And he doesn't judge the fact that he's further ahead than some business people, because think about this, if he raised at 1.5 billion or 1.6 or whatever it was, for Beast Industries, he's technically a billionaire on paper. Why would he talk to somebody who's not a billionaire on paper? Because he still feels like there are things that he can learn from them and then implement into his machine and instantly get to 10 or 50 or 100. He still texts thumbnails for his videos to some of his close buddies just to get their feedback, because at the end of the day, he cares about winning more than being right. Number six is that he's trying to hire a God squad and he's doing it aggressively. So he wants the Avengers of business and content to be on his team in-house.
Assemble.
He will do whatever it takes to win no matter what. He gets people to move in with him in his house so that he can indoctrinate them into the Mr. Beast way of doing things, which is just win at all costs without hurting anyone and do good while you do it. Smart people recognize the fact that he's growing like crazy and they wanna get on the ship. Number seven is that it's amazing how collaborative rather than competitive he is. Now, don't get me wrong, he's super competitive as a person, but I think a lot of it is him against him. But he's willing to collaborate with other creators rather than cut them down. He helps people out on their first channel with no subscribers. He does TikTok videos with TikTokers that aren't nearly as big as him. He sees the world as larger than a zero-sum game, meaning we can just both win. And I think that's actually been one of his low-key secrets to success, is because early on, he was masterminding with all these guys who were all together trying to get millions of subscribers, and all of them did.
We were all super small YouTubers, and we basically talked every day for 1,000 days in a row and did nothing but just like hyper study, like what makes a good video, what makes a good thumbnail, what's good pacing, like how to go viral. And we just call it like daily masterminds.
Now, this is me just putting my theoretical hat on, but I'll bet that him seeing that all of them could win when they all worked together and they all won faster and bigger than if they worked on their own probably changed the way he saw the world in terms of how he creates and how everyone can win together. And number eight is that Jim is playing an infinite game. And what I mean by that is that he's in the game to play the game. By any stretch, he doesn't need money anymore. And if he lost everything tomorrow, he would still make YouTube videos. And the reason I know that is because when he had nothing, he made YouTube videos.
I'm always gonna be making videos.
You're always gonna be making videos.
Yeah, 100%. I'm stupid.
And there's also,
I'm like, Herditor, this thing? All right, have 30 years of my life, I don't care.
When I look at you, like a parallel storyline where I wonder, will he ever stop making videos?
Yeah.
Because he's 25 now.
I know.
10 years from now, I'm like, you know, I'm 34.
10 years from now, I'll be getting started.
And because he plays the game that way, he's going to have one of the biggest pieces of leverage that everyone underplays, which is time. He's already got almost a decade of experience under his belt in his low 20s. In terms of like entrepreneur years, he's actually older than people give him credit for, but still has 60, 70 years ahead of him where he can continue to compound that. He's just getting started and he's a master of content. And over the next decade, he'll become a master of business. Now, let's talk about what that means from a valuation perspective. A company that's fast growing, that has significantly better margins because they don't have nearly the marketing costs, because most times one of the biggest costs in them is inventory and marketing. And so if you can cut out an entire massive cost center and get instant national recognition or international recognition, the potential of the brand day one already becomes a billion, 10 billion, et cetera. And for that reason, I think that Mr. Beast will be a sensibillionaire. And it's also because he has so much time to do it. All right, so I'm gonna enjoy a nice Mr. Beast Feastables chocolate bar while I watch $1 versus $1 billion yacht.
Thank you.
And after stepping on board, it was pretty clear why this yacht only cost $1.
If you have to ask how much it costs to carry a yacht, you can't afford it. You crack a windshield, it's like, there's 200 grand.
I don't need this giant ship all to myself. So I wanted to share this experience with you guys, my subscribers.
He's just great. You know, he makes interesting stuff and he's able to like find humor in everyday things. And like, I always know like, man, I'm like, ah, I gotta be better. I'm mature. Used to be a melter. If you like this video, then you'll love the next video, How You Can Get Rich in the New Economy, breaking down Kylie Jenner, Mr. Beast, The Rock, and many others that are capitalizing on this huge influencer wave.